You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning. It is so good to be with you all this morning. My name is Dr. Nicole Martin, and I just came to tell you the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The scripture says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It is truly an honor to be with you today. If you haven't said that to your neighbor, just say, good morning. Good morning. It's so great to be with you. I thank God for your amazing president, Dr. Brown, and for his amazing wife, Maria. I thank God for Jeannie, who has helped me so much, and for Rachel, and for my friends and colleagues. And this morning, I'm going to talk about what it looks like to have persistent faith. In my vantage point at Christianity Today, I can tell you the body of Christ needs a lot of things, but what we need more than anything is a deep, persistent, abiding faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? We absolutely need that. So let's go to the Word of God. I'm going to read this morning from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 18. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 in the New International Version. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice from my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that eventually she won't come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again just for all that you have done in our worship together. Thank you for the privilege of being in one of these last chapel services. Thank you, God, for being with us today. Speak, Lord. We, your servants, are listening in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say, amen. Amen. Billy had always dreamed of becoming a doctor. He'd come from a long line of physicians and qualified nurses and nurse practitioners and doctors, and he was actually the smartest one in his class. And when it came to schools, Billy got into the best one there was, Asbury, of course. And he was pursuing his path on his way to pre-med. But something happened as Billy started his dream. In his first year, he struggled through chemistry. It was much harder than he thought. And so instead of getting a tutor or taking time to study, Billy switched to an easier major in his first year. He was so discouraged by the challenges and so disheartened by what felt like failure that he decided another path would be better. The following year, seeing that that major was hard as well, Billy decided to drop out altogether. You see, he'd been taught that success was natural. So if it wasn't easy, then it wasn't right. Years later, Billy ran into a former colleague of his, Sally. She also struggled through chemistry her first year. She nearly failed. But instead of changing majors, Sally decided to stick it out. She pressed through final exams and failed tests. She invested in a tutor and went to study. Instead of going to parties, she kept showing up for class when her friends had turned away. And by the time they ran into each other, Sally was in her first year of residency. Billy asked Sally, how did you do it? He said, I wish I had gone back where you were. I wish I had been as good as you. I wish I'd stuck with it. And Sally replied, the only difference between us wasn't intellect. It was simple, stubborn persistence. Billy is just one small example of our culture today. We live in a world that no longer really appreciates the value of persistence. We've raised a generation to believe that if obstacles come, plan to do something else. If it's hard, then it must not be God. We no longer hear the refrain, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Now we hear, if at first you don't succeed, just destroy all evidence that you tried. By nature, humanity is often willing to commit when things are good. We're willing to give our whole hearts when things are easy. But as soon as the conflict comes, we're ready to trade in our bosses for new jobs, trade in our passports for greener pastures, trade in our friendships for a new group instead of persisting through the pain. The moment we face a little bit of trouble, it's like we're ready to abandon all of our plans and try something new. If the major isn't easy, drop it. If the job doesn't make you feel good, leave it, find another. If the marriage gets hard or the relationship seems rocky, leave them, find someone new. If the cause seems impossible or the politics are too strong or the resistance is too high or the people won't listen, just let it go. Just take an easier path. Our world has taught us that persistence is too costly and that resilience makes no sense. We want instant gratification, instant ease, immediate pleasure, and right now rewards. Recent research confirms this, showing that we are now facing a global crisis of low resilience among general populations in the world. Resilience is the mental, physical, spiritual capacity to withstand difficulties and recover from challenges. Resilience is the ability to bounce back, the elasticity required to go through hardships and not be torn apart by it. But statistically speaking, we're now living in a time when resilience is at an all-time low. And when persistence is lost and resilience is low, the result is frustration, anger, and grief. A low persistence and low resilience can lead you to believe that you are powerless to make change. It can make you feel like the fight isn't worth it, like the cost of pressing forward is just too high. When you struggle with a lack of persistence or low resilience, you will find yourself easily swayed by the pressures to assimilate and accommodate and acquiesce, or simply put, to just give up and go along. Our culture has forgotten what it means to persist in the face of difficulty, and unfortunately, the same is true when it comes to our faith. We want to follow Jesus to pleasant places. We want him to make us feel good and warm and cozy inside. We want to sing songs that make us feel good, hear sermons that make people like us, teach courses that everyone will remember. But friends, this is not real faith. This is not the comfortable Christianity that Christ wants us to have, because comfortable Christianity is easily abandoned when troubles come. And trust me, if you really follow Jesus, troubles will come. Jesus does not tell us to take up our comforters and pillows and follow him. No, he said, take up your cross. Jesus never promised that we would experience high praise and better days. Instead, he promised, in this life you will have troubles. And when our faith is tested by the troubles of our times, comfortable Christianity will cause you to give up, while persistent faith invites you to lean in. Warm and fuzzy faith tells you to ignore God, but resilient faith invites us to pray. Let the church say pray. And not just to pray every once in a while, but high resilience and strong persistence invites us to pray every moment of our lives to the true and living God. Prayer was one of the core disciplines of the Christian life. And when we ascribe to comfortable Christianity, we lose the ability to persistently pray in the face of challenges and troubles that come in our lives. To be persistent in prayer is to petition God over and over, often with the same requests. Being persistent in prayer is seeking God repeatedly with the same thing and this insane belief that eventually God will respond. It's the same as continually knocking on a door until God opens it, continuing to ring the phone until someone answers, refusing to leave until you get what you need. And as crazy as it sounds, Jesus wants us to seek him persistently in prayer. As ridiculous as it feels, God desires a people who will keep praying and keep knocking and keep asking until we receive what God has promised. And I don't know about you, but I want all that God has promised for me. You see, there are some things I need from God. There are some things I'm believing God for. There are some prayers I'm believing on behalf of other people. There are some doors that only God can open. And I want to know, are there a few people in here who need some things from God? Are there people who are seeking God for something, someone on your heart, something on your mind? Because if you are seeking God, God invites us not just to come to him once with it, but to persistently seek the Lord. Not just for things of the flesh, but to persistently seek him for the people God wants us to become. This is why I love our passage today in Luke 18, because Jesus proceeds to explain to his disciples why they have to live countercultural lives, starting with the persistence of their prayers. In his story, Jesus centers a widow who would normally be on the outskirts of life. He makes her the hero and models her as the faith that the disciples should want for themselves, essentially telling them, be more like her. In his subversive and revelatory manner, Jesus centered a woman to demonstrate the character of God who loves his daughters and his sons, empowering both to tell the story of who God is. Jesus uses this resilient widow to teach us first that we must persist in prayer because persistent prayer pleases God. Persistent prayer pleases God. In verses 6 and 7, oh Lord, I just said it. I have an 11 and a 13-year-old, and they say to me all the time, Mom, just skip over if it says 6, 7. But anyways, in those verses right there, the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice? And it says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? See, friends, God is pleased by the prayers of his people. And while the unjust judge had no relationship with this widow and still gave in to her request, Jesus points out that we are God's chosen ones who cry out to him in need. And in the same way that a parent cannot deny a child who cries out to them in need, so too our God, who names us as his chosen ones, who calls us his children, cannot deny us when we cry out because he loves us and he's pleased by our prayers. God is pleased by the persistent prayers because persistence is a sign of relationship. Proverbs 15:8 says, God delights in the prayers of the upright. You cannot go persistently to someone if you do not believe them. And Hebrews tells us that we have to believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God, through Christ, has given us an opportunity to have relationship with him. And we come to God not in poor faith, but in full faith, recognizing that every time I pray, God hears. And here's the best part about God's pleasure. Whether or not the prayer is answered immediately, God still loves to hear us. God loves the intonation of our voices. In fact, God made our vocal cords so unique that no one else's voice in the earth before you or after you will sound like yours. God made you so unique that no one else's fingerprint is exactly like yours. No one else sounds like you. No one else looks like you. And it doesn't matter even if you're an identical twin or if your voice sounds exactly like someone else in your family. God says, I still need to hear yours. This is the joy of God who is pleased by the sound of our voices. God, who knows the very number of hairs on your head, loves to hear your prayers. God, who created you just a little lower than the angels, delights in the persistence of your prayers. God, who knows you inside and out, who formed you in your mother's womb, who made you fearfully and wonderfully in his image, who loves you with an everlasting love, is pleased by the sound of your voice. God is pleased by the persistence of the prayers of his people. But not only must we continue to pray because God is pleased by our prayers, but also The Bible teaches us that persistent prayers bring about justice. Persistent prayers bring about justice. In verse 3, Jesus says that the specific prayer of the widow was for justice against her adversary. And in verse 8, he says, I tell you, God will see that they get justice and quickly. When Jesus encourages the disciples to pray and not give up, he wasn't just telling them to pray for whatever they wanted. He wasn't telling them, go pray for your nice convertible or pray for your cushy church job or pray for millions of dollars. No, this was not an indication that if they pray for whatever they wanted, they would get it. Jesus was saying, when you pray for what God wants, God will have it happen. When you pray according to the will of God, God will hasten the answer. And in this text, the prayer that was in accordance with the will of God was a prayer for justice. My friends, in these last days, injustice is rampant throughout the world and so much is happening. And I wonder what it would look like if the Church of Jesus Christ would pray for justice to happen. Justice is about God making wrong things right. And when we pray for justice, we must pray and not give up. We must pray for those who are chronically unemployed and not give up. We must pray for those who are falsely incarcerated and not give up. We must pray for those who are caught in human trafficking, for those who don't have enough food to eat, for those who are caught in systems where they feel like they are bound. Church, we have to learn how to pray for justice and not give up. And here's the hardest part about justice. Justice may not come in our lifetimes. And yet God still calls us to pray, because the more we pray for those who grieve the murder of loved ones, the more we pray for people who die daily because of their faith, the more we pray these prayers, the quicker justice will come, because God is asking us to pray for what he wants to see in the earth. So I want to encourage you today, don't give up on your prayers, because persistent prayers please God. Persistent prayers bring about justice. And lastly, the text shows us persistent prayers strengthen our faith. This is the interesting part of the text. In verse 8, the question is asked, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? You see, had Jesus left us with the promise of God's quick response to our prayers, and we would have had the right to believe in some genie God who's easily rubbed by the persistence of our prayers. We would be left with this idea that if we just keep asking, God will eventually give in. But the purpose of the story Jesus tells is not so that the disciples would count on the answer to their prayer. The purpose was so that God could show them something happens in the midst of persistent prayer that cannot happen in any other way. You see, as the disciples persist in prayer, God is strengthening their faith. What looks like just going through the motions on the outside was God working something in them on the inside that could never happen in any other way. I wish my faith would grow in good times. I wish my faith would abound when everything was going well in my life. But the truth is, my faith is not tested and grown until I have to get on my knees and pray. My faith is not truly matured until I go through hardship. And Jesus tells us, while other people are prone to lose heart, while other people are prone to give up, I encourage you to keep praying and keep kneeling and keep seeking and keep going, because while it looks like nothing on the outside, God is working something on the inside that is necessary for what's next. I came to let you know today, God is inviting you into a relationship of persistent prayer, not just so he can give you the answer, but so he can work something in you that is necessary for what's next. Reminds me of one of my favorite movies. It was 1984. So back in 1984, you could only watch movies in the movie theater. There was no streaming, no Hulu, no Apple TV, no nothing. So I remember seeing this movie in the movie theater, 1984, Karate Kid. Anybody ever heard of Karate Kid? Okay. You just did that to make me not feel so old, and I'll take it. I'm grateful. Thank you so much. So 1984, I'm sitting in the movies. That was like when popcorn was maybe $3. So sitting in the movies, Karate Kid, and I just loved it because it was all about Daniel LaRusso, and he was this kid who was bullied and everybody beat him up, and so he goes to Mr. Miyagi because he wants to learn how to fight against his enemies, and deep down, he wants to learn martial arts so that he can defeat his enemies, so he can basically kill them. He was so tired of being bullied, he was so tired of being attacked, that Daniel LaRusso goes to Mr. Miyagi to learn how to fight. And do you remember what Mr. Miyagi told him to do? First thing, Mr. Miyagi says, there's my car, take the rag, and he teaches him, wax on, wax off. Now Daniel is like, okay, not sure what's going on here, that's fine. He finishes the waxing of the car, he goes to Mr. Miyagi, he's like, sir, please teach me how to fight. And then what does Mr. Miyagi do? Hands him the sander for the floor, starts scrubbing the deck back and forth, scrub the deck back and forth. Now, by this time, Daniel is thinking, this is not at all what I came for. I came for martial arts, and you're using me as free labor. So he goes back to Mr. Miyagi and says, please, sir, I know how to wax on, wax off. I know how to sand the floor. Please teach me how to fight. Mr. Miyagi gives him a paintbrush and teaches him to paint the fence. Daniel is hot. I cannot believe this. This is not at all what I came for. He's learning all these things, and it seems like nothing is happening. And just when he thought it couldn't get any worse, Mr. Miyagi then teaches him how to paint the house. Broad strokes, side to side. After a while, Daniel got so frustrated. He figured none of this is working. None of this is happening. But what he didn't realize is every technique that he was using in what seemed like menial tasks were the techniques that were necessary to fight against his opponent with all kinds of power. And this is what God is trying to show us. It might feel like nothing. I'm just going back to God over and over, asking him for the same things over and over. God, help me make it through the day. God, help me to fix the friendship. God, help me to know what to do when I graduate and it looks like nothing is happening. But all the while, God is working within you skill sets that are necessary for what's next. Every time you go to God, every time you bring him your request, God says, I'm strengthening on the inside something that is necessary for your next. And my friends, I want you to know, don't get weary in well-doing. Don't give up on your prayer life with God. Do not throw away your faith and refuse to throw in the towel, because one day you will recognize that God was strengthening within you a faith that is necessary for your next. That strength within you says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That strength within you will remind you, you are more than conquerors through him who loves you. The strength of faith within you will remind you, you are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. The strength within you will remind you that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My friends, God is inviting you into a level of persistence that is necessary for what's next. And seniors, don't lose what God has shaped in your life in this season. Every prayer, every exam, every tear, every friendship, God is going to work together for your good. And what is God's good for our lives? Not just that we would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, but that we might hear those sacred words, well done. You could have given up, but you didn't. Well done. You wanted to throw in the towel, but you didn't. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You persisted. You didn't give up. Now come and receive your reward. Let's stand so that we can pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for the gracious gift of your presence. Thank you, God, for the gift of persistence and for the reminder that we should pray and not give up. And Lord, we confess to you that we have often given up. We confess to you, God, that there have been times where we wanted to stop praying. There were times when we decided that reading your word was not enough, that our faith before you was not enough, that it just wasn't worth it. Forgive us, God, for the lack of faith. And we pray right now for a resurgence of faith, for the anointing of faith, for the revival of faith, for the renewal of faith, for restoration of faith. God, let it be so in the name of Jesus. And we tell you, Jesus, we can't do it without you. So Holy Spirit, empower us to believe. And when we can't believe, Lord, help our unbelief and teach us to keep praying until Christ comes for us again. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. In the name of the Savior, amen.